Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the last book in the Old Testament. We're beginning a series today, God's Plan for Blessing. Now, let me ask you a question. Every one of us would answer this the same way. Would you desire and like to experience the fullness of the blessings of Almighty God that He has into and for your life? Well, I don't think there's a single one of us that would say, no, I don't want His blessings. But isn't it interesting, you look over the landscape of our world and you see so many things that are happening. You see so many believers that are missing out on the blessings of God. When Jesus Himself said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The idea of the blessings of God isn't with man. It originated in and with the very heart of God. And yet, you look at the landscape of America, and here's the sobering reality. For the first time in news, I heard these words, and some of you may have as well. America is in debt $14 trillion. America is at the brink of defaulting. The debt ceiling for our country is $14.2 trillion. Imagine what's going to happen if we as a land default. Many of us receive, and many of you receive checks, and it bears the government's name on it. But what are we going to do when we get to that point and say, I'm sorry, there's no money left to cash your check? What in the world is going on? Could it be that part of the passage that we're going to look at this morning has a sobering reality to our land and to our world? Yet the reality is what you and I are facing is not beyond hope. But you look at the landscape around us, men and women alike, husbands and wives, families are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs. For the first time I read just the other day, one city in the United States is struggling having enough people to populate that city whereby it continually can be fluid and go on and march on. Well, what is happening in our world? You and I would look at us at the landscape, and 20 years ago, we would never dream that our land would be bought by somebody else or that we could be bought by another country. But we don't believe that anymore. As a matter of fact, there's a passage in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and I challenge you to read every word of that chapter. God makes it very clear that if you will obey me as a people, obey me as a land, all these blessings will come. But then in verse 15, He says, if you don't obey me, all these curses will come upon you. And one of the curses is this. A nation, your language you don't understand, will swoop down upon you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Where is America going? But you say, Pastor, you're dealing in a series on blessing. Well, all that I've just said to you is not unlike what was taking place in the time of Malachi. The people had gone away from God. They didn't believe of their need for God because even the preachers had walked backwards on God. They were giving God the lame and the defamed and the spotted. And yet God makes a very sobering wake-up call to them in Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. If you'll look very carefully, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouses that there may be meat in mine house and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open your windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it's vain to serve the Lord, to serve God. And what profit is it? We kept the ordinance, his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. When you look at Malachi and you look at what is going on in his time and his land, it's not really a great deal different from what is going on in our day and time. God wants again the blessing of his people. One thing that you and I need to understand is this. The God who created you, the God who gave you life, and the God who breathed into you the breath of life has nothing in his heart but his best for your life and for my life. And yet, whenever you look at the landscape in Malachi's time and you look at the landscape in our time, you see many, many, many believers. You see many that call themselves the people of God, the children of God, and their life seems to have the curse of God upon it. Malachi is addressing the people of God, and he's even addressing the priest of God, the preachers of God, because he's reminding them that God has not forgotten them. Listen, I want you to hear me say this very carefully. There are still godly people in our land. God has not forgotten America. But the issue is, will we come back afresh to remembering who we are and our ultimate need of him? If you look in this outline, follow along with me. God offers a wake-up call. There's crisis in the land. Whenever Malachi is speaking to the people, there's crisis in the land. Because Malachi is saying, you're cursed with a curse. You look around you and there's no prosperity anymore. You look around you and seems like everything is going downward in spiral rather than upward. You see, to look at the landscape of their time and to look at the landscape of our time is not that much different. And you see, God reminds us in his word in the book of Amos, very sobering, shall a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Listen carefully. Shall there be calamity or disaster in a city and the Lord has not done it? You say, what in the world is God doing? Could it be that God is issuing a wake-up call to the entire land of America? We don't really know how much longer we're going to really exist, do we? We really don't know. For the first time in my life, I wonder what's going to take place in my daughter's life and my grandchildren's life as God allows us grandchildren. And some of you wonder that same thing. But the wonderful truth of God's word and the wonderful truth of the nature of God in the book of Malachi as God spoke through his prophet, I want you to remember that there is a sovereign God over this world. There's a sovereign God on the throne. There's a sovereign God who governs the events of everything that there is. Sometimes we forget that. And the people in Malachi's day and time had forgotten it. And you see, the truth about it is God makes it very clear. And he said to Malachi, through Malachi, there is a point of return. Now listen very carefully. There is a point when a land can return. But there is a point of no return. There is a point of no return. If you remember back in the Old Testament, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had reached the point of no return. They wouldn't return to God, so God could not restore them. In Noah's day and time, they reached the point of no return. They wouldn't return to God, so God could not bless them. So what are the basis of God's blessings? If you're going to have the basis of God's blessings, and if you're going to have God's blessings in your life personally, and if you're going to have God's blessings in your life as a family, if we're going to have God's blessings corporately as the people of God, what's involved? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that God's blessings begin with moral restoration. Watch carefully what it says. You know, God made it very clear that he desired repentance. The call of God in verse 7, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. Literally what Malachi said and what God reminds you and me, there is no way to be what God wants you to be and to have the blessings of God if I'm not serious about my need of him. God told Malachi, I said, here's what you tell the priest. They need to return to me. Here's what you need to tell the men and the women. They need to return to me. Well, what is real repentance? Real repentance is not just walking an aisle on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a revival meeting. Real repentance involves a lifestyle. Here's what it is. Real repentance involves your mind first. Literally, the word repentance means a change of mind. The reality of so many believers that are living this morning, they think they need God, but they don't practice as though they need God. Maybe you're one of them. You're really not practicing your a need of God every day in your life. As long as you've got a little money in the bank, as long as you've got a few CDs, as long as you've got some property and this and that, God has a way of touching everything you and I've got when he sees those are idols in our life. And God made it very clear to Malachi's time. He said, you remind them that it involves repentance. You know, there was one remedy for Malachi and the people. There was one remedy for your time and my time. And one of the things that happens is if we live as though we don't need God, you may make a lot of money, but it is interesting how God can touch everything you make. And I've heard people say this, you know, I make a good living, but I don't seem to have a single thing. I make good money, but I don't know where it all goes. God can touch everything we have. Why? Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Listen, everything in this earth belongs to God. Don't you think for one moment that God can't touch. Now, am I trying to scare you? No, but here's what you need to understand. We need to realize that every molecule of air in this room has the presence of God on it. You can't go anywhere but what there is the presence of God. And Malachi needed to remind the people, and they were to be reminded that you don't offer God secondary stuff. Could it be that we as a land are under blight? That we as even people of God are under blight because God is saying, I want to finally let you see what it costs to rob me. I wonder if the truth was told, how many believers, what they collectively owe to the Lord God. The Bible does not say you ought to tithe. You'll not find that in the Bible. It's not there. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Everything you and I have, he's given to us, but the Bible says that the tithe is his. And you see, here's the reality. In the book of Malachi, they'd say, well, you know, you can get by with secondary, and you know, some of their friends, they didn't want to make it too difficult, and so they said, well, you know what, just give God the blemished and the maimed and the lame. And finally, under the directive of God, Malachi said, what would your governors do if you gave him that? You see, here's the reality. You being blessed by God has a great deal to do with what you view and how you view mentally what your mindset is of finances. And you see, that's what he said to the children of Israel, repent. And first, God's blessings involve repentance. If God was bearing witness and verbally saying to you, do you tithe? Or would you have to admit to the Father that you robbed him? You see, none of us like to be called a thief. None of us like to be called someone who steals. But God is reminding the people what it takes to return to him. He says, return to me. Return to me in your mindset. Return to me in a biblical attitude. It is amazing. I've heard believers that have been believers for years, and they don't believe they need to tithe. You can't prove that by the Word of God. One of the things that I've found all across the journey of my life, and there have been things that have happened that only God could have done it. And as I look across the journey of my Christian pilgrimage, I think, Lord, you did that. There's no way anybody could have done that but you. And you see, he makes it very clear that when you have a genuine, authentic attitude change, whenever it comes to finances, you position yourself to be blessed. And that's what he tells the children of Israel. That's what he reminds you and me of. He says, second of all, it involves obedience. Listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, you've gone away from the ordinances of God. I've said this before, but I want you to listen to me carefully again. Is obedience a big deal in your life? The following is a true story, a missionary story out of Africa. Missionary was serving, and his son was playing in the front yard. And he looked across and saw his son very quickly, and he said, "Philip, obey me immediately. Drop to your knees." And Philip just listened to his dad, thought, "What in the world?" But he did what his dad said. After Philip dropped to his knees, he said, "Now, Philip, get on your belly and crawl towards me." Philip didn't know what in the world was happening, but he crawled a little ways, and then his dad said, "Philip, get up and run right to me." He ran to him, and as he was running to his dad, he just happened to turn around and look, and he realized everything his dad said and why. For out of one of the trees hung a huge snake, almost right over top of Philip's head. And Philip had only one recourse: to obey immediately. Now listen to me very carefully. Do you really believe your heavenly Father loves you? Don't answer that out loud. Now let me ask you a question. If you believe your heavenly Father loves you, would he ever give you a command, a directive that was not for your best? Would he give you a financial directive that was not for your best? No. Every directive that the Father gives us is always for his glory and is never motivated self-centered. But why? Because God is not a selfish God. He's a giving God. So every command always rebounds with your blessing and with him wanting to bless you. And as Philip came away, now imagine Philip saying, "Now, Dad, I hear what you say, and I don't want to do what you say. It is imperative that you, in your personal life, obey God personally and obey him immediately and obey him completely." Why? Because it will always mean life and death in your life, blessings and cursings. And you see, here's the reality. One of the things that the children of Israel found, they found that there is no partial obedience with God. Now, hear me very carefully. Sometimes a person will say, and I've even heard leadership say this and to people that aren't tithing, he said, "You know, if you're not tithing, start with 2%. Start with 3%. Start with 4%. That sounds good, but there's only one problem with that. Do you hear what the problem is? What is it? Is it partial obedience? Yes. Is partial obedience obedience to God? Can you expect the blessings of God if you partially obey? Never. And you see, here's the reality. Some people are wondering, "God, why don't you bless me?" But here's the reality. Obey, always receive blessings. Always. Always, always. You obey God in your family life. You obey God in your personal life. And you obey God when you don't even have two nickels to rub together. Listen, you know what happens when you obey God? You position yourself to receive the blessings of God. And the sad part about it is so many believers this morning, husbands and wives, they're getting ready to go to the bank in the morning or go someplace, and you know what, we're going to have to file bankruptcy. And you look back at their life, and they've never honored God with their finances. They've never honored God with their money. And you know what happens? Seem like things keep tearing up. I never will forget last year, my next door neighbor coming over to my house. He's got a lawnmower like mine. And he said, "Benny, when you mow your yard, I just noticed you just get your lawnmower out, you start it up, and you mow." I thought, "Yes." He said, "You don't ever have to work on your lawnmower. You don't have to ever do something to your lawnmower." And when he said that, I thought, you know what? God has a way of blessing your lawnmower before it lasts longer. Look, in the Old Testament, ladies, you'll love this. God blessed the women, blessed the men. As they were walking through the journey, their shoes lasted 40 years. Wouldn't you love to go 40 years and never need a style change? Now, don't answer that question. But here's the principle. God makes it very clear. He takes our obedience seriously. And the Bible says, makes it very clear that, you know, he says that it involves obedience. And it also involves restitution. Look at number 3. You know, listen to what he says. Malachi is speaking to the children of Israel, and God's speaking to every one of his children that listen to him. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, you will never find in the Word of God that worship is without sacrifice and worship is without giving. 400 years before the law, Abraham offered to Melchizedek tithes and offerings. Why? Because when you come into the house of God, listen, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You can never declare you worship God and it don't involve something of you. When God the Father gave everything he had in Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross, sacrificed his death, burial, and resurrection, and God the Father separated from his Son and never had been before Jesus Christ came to earth in a physical human body. Listen, God allowed his Son to die. Jesus was willing to die. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm going to worship. Well, what are you going to give God? Well, I don't have anything to give God. Then you're not worshiping God. You can't worship God without it being a part of your life and without giving. And that's what Malachi tells the saints, tells the people of God. Listen, Malachi reminds them, the awesome curse of God is cursing you. Listen, then he goes on to say, the whole nation is cursed. Would you listen to that phrase? The whole nation is cursed. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. God will always be Almighty God. Amen? We may not always be the United States of America, but he will always be Almighty God. He'll be Almighty God for a million generations. His word stands when lands collapse. And one of the realities of time is this. If you read history very carefully, lands being absorbed into other countries annihilating a country. How much longer will America live? You see, here's the reality. We, you and I know it, we are the most blessed people in the world. If you don't believe it, go to some other country. Just take a trip someplace across the sea. We're the most blessed. We've got everything that we can have to our heart's desire. We're information rich, but we're application poor. Somebody hears something talking about finances and they get all in a dither. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You don't deal with God. God sets the groundwork and he makes the commands. And you see, Malachi was looking at the landscape of the land that he loved. He was looking and he was seeing a land fading. The land that he knew. The land that I grew up in is slowly going away, isn't it? But it can return. And here's what God says. He says, first of all, remember me. You know, one of the realities is you will find the blessings of God when you live your life. Father, I need you every step of my way. I don't just need you on Sunday only. I don't just need you in emergencies. But Lord, every step of my life, every direction that I take, I need you. And you see, he made it clear. He said, he even established the place. He said, here's the command of God. Bring the tithe. You know why we receive an offering? Many of you do, biblically. And sometimes somebody will say, well, I don't understand. You know, like one little boy in church one time said, you know, they say they're giving that to God, but they're just using it to pay the bills. And one little boy one time, they was taking up a special offering. Is for International Missions, Lottie Moon. And he said to his mommy, he said, Mommy, haven't they got her paid off yet? You know, there's all sorts of things that take place, but listen to what the Father tells you. Now, you have to ask yourself this question. Do I want the favor of God upon my life? Do I personally want the favor of God upon me? Do I want God's blessings upon my life? You can't answer for anybody else, but men, let me say this. If you bring pain upon your family by you robbing the Lord in tithes and offerings, God will deal with you. God will deal with preachers that rob him. Are there preachers that rob the Lord? Absolutely. Are there pastors that rob the Lord? Absolutely. The Lord knows what that's all about, and he deals with it. But here's what he said. You bring the tithe. And you see, People of Malachi's time, they knew they were indicted by God. And here's, Malachi said, God's watched you. Now I want to ask you a question. If you was being summoned before the judgment of God, and Jesus Christ asked you personally, son, daughter of mine, have you honored me with your tithes? What would be your answer? What would be your personal answer? You see, we want good health and we want this and this and this and this. God simply says, obey me and blessed. I love Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. I challenge you to read it because he said, I'll bless your land, I'll bless your family, I'll bless your income. Blessed, 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 blessed will be your life if you make it your business to obey me. But you make it your business to disobey me, cursed, 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 cursed will be everything that happens about your life. And you see, you know, we say, well, what's so big about tithing? You're honoring the Father. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it big in your life to honor your earthly father? Wouldn't you love to know you're pleasing the Father who gave you eternal life through his Son? When you and I tithe, that's honoring the Father. God don't need your money. Listen, he's just used that as a means whereby we honor him. Listen, since the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he don't need a dime from you and me. Well, said, well, if he don't need a dime, why does he? So you don't learn stinginess. Listen, most every person that does not tithe, here's the reality about their life. They become selfish, self-centered, stingy, and their Christian life is literally a horrible viewpoint to look at. They bring dishonor on the Father. They bring dishonor on the Son. They bring dishonor on the Holy Spirit. They dishonor their entire family, and they're a terrible reflection of Christ. Somebody you'd like to take a vacation with, isn't it? No. But you see, it's a means of worshiping him. You know, think about this. What would you pay to go to heaven? I was thinking about this just the other day, and I thought, Benny, what would you pay to just have a bird's eye view in that land that we called heaven? Well, you don't have the resources, and I don't either. It's a gift by God. But you know, if you had the resources, people would pay millions and billions and trillions if they had it. But you know, it's a way that the Father shows favor to you. Let me give you an example. Suppose you have two children, and you know, you've got 10 pieces of candy each, and it's for each one of them. And you give them, they're chocolate candy, by the way. Maybe they got nuts in them, good stuff. And you hand those 10 pieces, and one takes the 10 and just runs off and doesn't say thank you, doesn't say I appreciate it. And then this other one gets the 10 and takes a step, and before going any further, turns around and says, Daddy, would you take the first piece? You didn't make them. Now I want to ask you this question. Which one of those children would you be more prone to show favor to? You see, there are believers this morning all over the world that are missing the favor of God. They say, God, why don't you? They don't look at their own life. They don't look at their bank account. They don't think they get their check and they deposit it. And if somebody needs some money, they're lucky to get $5 or $10. I want you to listen to me very carefully, because you stand before God for you. You're going to have to decide how that's going to map out in the judgment of Christ. But you see, when you obey God in that area, he opens the floodgates. And watch what he says. He says, I want to show you. There's proof. Look at the last one. God made it abundantly clear to Malachi. He said, I want to show you something. He said, when you bring the tithes and the offerings to the storehouse of God, he said, here's what will happen. First of all, I'll honor the faith of all who obey me. I'll honor the faith. Listen. It was Samuel who said, to obey is better than sacrifice. I look at some people's lives and they just live with the blessing of God on their life. I've watched some of your lives And I just see the blessings of God on your life, and that just excites me because you're walking with God, you're obeying God, you're trying to follow Him the best way you know how, and He knows that. And, you know, you don't understand some things that happen in your life, and that's understandable, but you just walk with Him. Listen, when you don't know the ways of God, and you can't feel like you can't trust His ways, you trust His heart because He knows what He's up to. But you see, here's what He says. I want to show you. He says, I'll prove it. Do you realize in this passage of Scripture that God literally says, I'll make it very clear to you that I will supernaturally favor your life? You say, well, how does He do that? Well, some of you have businesses, and some of you are in business, and some of you make your living in some form of business. Wouldn't you love the Father to favor your business? And when you do, listen, I think of Mr. Cathy, who Chick-fil-A. And one of the things I love about his business, he honors God. He's still a Sunday school teacher, First Baptist Church, Jonesboro, Georgia. And he honors God. He teaches those precious boys the principles of God. And I think they're, you know, the older children's class, and they're always closed on Sunday. Why? Because he's made it his business to honor the Father. Well, he's not doing too good, is he? You know what? It's amazing the blessings upon his life. Financial, emotional, spiritual. And he's just amazing to listen to. God made it very clear. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen very carefully to what he says. I want you to back up. And I want you to look in verse 11. God says, bring up the tithes into the storehouse. He says, bring it so there'll be meat. And prove me, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour, what's the next word? You. Pour you. You realize sometimes we forget God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your business. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless your vocation. And you say, but why is it not being blessed? Ask yourself, what am I doing to honor the Father out of this business? You say, well, it's not a business to honor the Father. Every aspect of your life is to bring honor and glory to the Lord God. Somebody comes in your business, you're a redeemed child of God, and they're without Christ. I'm not saying you always share the plan of salvation, but you let them know that you're caring, you're concerned, you're interested in their life. And God says, here's what I'll do. I will rebuke the devourer. Do you understand what that means? I will withhold the pestilence. I will withhold the problems. I will withhold the diseases. Makes me think of a story. One time, a precious elderly lady, she planted a garden, and it wasn't going to be a good year, but at the very edge of her garden, she got on her knees at the beginning of the season. And here's what she said, Lord God, I thank you for the strength to plant this garden. And I ask you, I give it to you, and I ask you to prosper it and to cause it to grow, and I'll honor you with it. Well, that was an extremely, extremely dry summer. Gardens shriveled up, just a few showers from time to time. But would you like to guess where the showers were? They were on her property and some other areas around that. Do you really believe he'll do it for you? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. We come to church. We read the Bible. But here's something we just struggle with believing. Father, I just don't know if you'll do it for me. I wish I could tell you the different times that the Father has proven to me, Benny, I love you. I want to show it to you in a very real and tangible and literal way, something you had never dreamed of. You know why? Nobody's more special to anybody than another. I'm no more special to God than you are. But you know what he says? I will rebuke the devourer. In other words, your business, I'll bless it. I'll give you wisdom to run it. I'll protect you from bad employees. I'll protect you from situations, and I will allow it to be blessed. I'll protect your body. You know, I have the opportunity to visit a lot of people in the hospital. I mean a lot. And I can tell those that are there that taking care of their body is not a big thing, and you can tell it pretty quick. Wouldn't you love to be able to be healthy till the day the Lord comes? Now, I'm not saying we won't get sick, but here's a conviction that I've come to believe by the Word of God. Listen, when you treat this body as the temple of the Spirit of God, He'll give you wisdom in how to handle it. Yes, you'll get sick. You may even get diseases. But the sovereign hand of God will be over your life. I'm not going to say there's not going to be any problems. It'd be foolish to say that. But here's what the sovereign God said. If you make it a big deal to obey me, I'll make it a big deal to bless you. Listen. Malachi shared to them the Word of God. As Malachi shared to them the Word of God, they had to make a decision. You know, before every one of us is life and death. You say, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to have the blessings of God. Not necessarily. Do you know somebody that's saved and you look at their life and say, where's the blessings? Well, God makes it very clear. He said, I'll rebuke your enemies. You know, many of you know what it's like to have been sick. But God says, I'll rebuke your enemies when you give yourself to obedience. Now, listen to me very carefully. I didn't say obedience. There's a lot of difference between saying, you know, I want to obey the Lord, and this second saying, I'm going to obey the Lord. There's a lot of difference in those two. Well, I want to obey the Lord. If you do, then you can. Well, you know, it's like the man who was blessed financially, and he was not blessed financially. He was quite poor. And he was trying to start a business, came to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I want to honor God with my business. The pastor prayed with him, and he tried to honor God with his finances, and he was blessed, and kept being blessed more, and he finally got to the point that he was getting a lot of blessings, and he went back to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, can we do anything about that? He said, no. He said, we can just pray that the Lord will teach you what it is to disobey. $14 trillion. Where will we be 5 years from now? We live as a country, even as a people. Everything's going to go well. But friend, God has a way of bringing a country to her knees. God has a way of bringing people. And if you think, well, my money is mine, I can do with it what I want to, God has a way of interrupting the entire financial system in the United States and causing you and me to wake up and realize nothing we have is for sure. But the question you need to ask is this, and every believer needs to ask this: am I honoring God spiritually with my finances? Now, this is going to be hard for you to hear, but it needs to be asked. Or would holy God have to call you a thief? I don't like that term. God never says anything arbitrary. God wants this land, His best for this land, but we've gone away. Unless there's repentance, God's word always holds true. Whenever there is not repentance in a land, there is the next step, always. This step always happens. Ruin in the land. It never has failed for 5,000 years of recorded scripture history. We are no different. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you be honest with the Father about your life and the basis of His blessings? Are you positioned to where He can honor your life. Are you positioned to where He can bless your life financially? How are you responding to God with what we would call money? Would the Father have to say negative things about your life out of love? But anything He says negative, He says to restore you and me. Father, we thank You so much that You love us, and in Your love, You always speak truth to us. Truth sometimes hurts the very core of our being. But Lord, You remind us that everything You say is truth. Whether we accept it or reject it doesn't alter truth. It alters our life, and it alters the future of our land. Father, just as You call the priest in the Old Testament to demonstrate a life of obedience through finances, You've saved every one of us to demonstrate a life of obedience as well. And Father, when we obey You, You just open the doors of heaven. Blessing, blessing, prosperity, goodness comes, not because we sought it, but because we sought to obey You. And Father, we thank You and we worship You and we praise You for that. Father, for that person who's here apart from Christ, I pray that You would draw them this morning to a relationship with God through Christ. That person who needs to join this fellowship to be obedient to You. And Father, the world hates the word obedience, but You use it and You remind us it's the key to the manifold blessings of the Father. Have Your will and Your way in this invitation is our prayer. In Christ we pray. Amen.